Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Andrew from San Diego.
Right on, Andrew! An alcoholic, my name's Andrew. And it's Friday day 12/17/2000. My home group is over the bridge, and my sponsor's Darwin. And he has a sponsor, and he's sponsored, and so on and so forth. We've been doing this deal for a while, and I'm grateful to be here tonight. One of the things for me, I don't like speaking. I don't, and I'm secretary at a meeting where I have to get speakers, and so my heart goes out to them. And some of them really enjoy it, and they do a really good job, and it's something they excel at, and really share the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. And for me today, you know, I usually get kind of nervous because I don't know what I'm going to share, my story. I think I forgot it or something like that. And today was a little different. What came over me is every little thing that was happening today, every little thing that I paid attention to or noticed was a result of Alcoholics Anonymous, a result of me being sober. And through the grace of God, and again, the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. So, to get into what happened. First drink I ever had, I'll start with that, was probably I was like 13, 14 years old, getting ready to go into a freshman in high school that summer. Was all the neighborhood kids were a little bit older. And this guy just graduated and was going to go into the Army, and they were having a little thing next door in the garage. And I decided to ask Mom, hey, can I go next door and check out what's going on? And she, you know, they were very friendly, and we'd known them a long time since we've been there. And she said, no problem, go on over. And went over there and had my first beer. First thing they did when I got over there, they handed me beer. Started drinking, and I went back home to check in really fast, you know, because I wasn't drunk yet. Checked in, walked out the back door after Mom and Dad went to bed, because they were still next door doing the thing. And they weren't handing me beers. They were popping the side of it, and then we'd tilt it up and crack it like that, something called a shotgun, I believe. Yeah. And that was my first experience drinking, shotgun and beers, and being the last person there. You know, it was just me and my neighbor. Everyone else had left, and we were just drinking. And we decided to go for a stroll. And that's basically my drinking to a T. Get drunk and go for a stroll. Go somewhere. That continued on for a while, sneaking out, going to get a drink. As I got into high school, keg parties, all those things were just a blessing for me at the time. You know, I was not comfortable with who I was, and I definitely did not fit into high school, no matter what group. I had many different groups that I used to hang out with, but no one that I related to. I always felt different and apart from, that's for sure. And when the drinking or the party came along, that's where I fit in. I had no problem fitting into the party because I could drink like an animal. So in my short time in high school, I did find out that I wasn't scholastically approved by the school, and ended up in adult school, which made for a better routine of drinking. That's for sure, because I didn't have to show up at a certain time. I could show up a little bit later. Get done the small amount of work that they required you to do, and get out there on the street and do what I wanted to do, which was just get another drink, just get that feeling again. And there was no groups in this little adult school. You know, there was like 20 or 30 people maybe, and most of them were actual adults just trying to get an education, and I was just trying to get by the next day, get by to give Mom and Dad just a little bit of security that their son was doing okay. Because they had to put me in a group home when I was 17 years old because I wasn't going to school. I was causing so much trouble. They were going to get in trouble for it. And so they had to place me in a group home, or decided to. And, you know, I started feeling a lot better. I actually turned 18 while I was in that group home, which was weeks later. That was their biggest mistake. It was weeks later I turned 18, and the kids there said, "You don't have to be here anymore." And that's all I needed. And I walked out of that place, and I walked home. I had nowhere else to go. And I arrived there, and they're like, oh, I guess you're back. And I did good for a very short amount of time, days. And I was back at it. You know, they didn't know where I was, what I was doing. And at this time, I had a girlfriend who was pregnant and 17 years old, about to have a baby, or the girl that I was with was about to have a baby. And it didn't change anything about my life, about my lifestyle, about my need or obsession for a drink. You know, I tried to act the part for a long time as a dad, as some sort of significant other to this person, and I just couldn't. With all the fibers of my being, I could not be a father or a husband or even a boyfriend. And we went through that cycle for a while. It ended up not working out because she got definitely in the way of my drinking way too much. And so I had her move out now we had two kids together by the time I was 21 years old. And she'd moved out. I don't even know what time I'm supposed to talk till, but she's got something for me. I'll get something. She moved out, and the party was really on at that time. I mean, I was 21, so I was able to buy my own drinks at this time. People were inviting me out to the bar. Which I didn't find that scene very well, because I was overserved too quickly, throwing up and falling down. That was like the best I could do at a bar. I couldn't hang too long. You know, the kids probably wanted their father in their lives, but I couldn't do that. I never got a DUI, but I don't think I drove sober from the time I was 18 till the time I came into Alcoholics Anonymous at 24 years old. But I never ended up with a DUI. Don't know why. Just the way it happened. So what happened is I go back to thinking I have my life together, end up in court trying to get custody of my children with a resume for life of drinking and drugging and stealing and cheating my way through life and destroying the paths of the lives I come in touch with. You know, they pulled my cover and they said, you're not getting custody of these kids. And the girl I was with, the mother of the children, she was still hanging around me, and they said, you definitely don't deserve these kids either, since you let an animal like this in your lives and the kids' lives. And my parents were given custody of those kids. And at that time, I'd been through the group home. I'd been through some other outreach programs to try and keep me sober or give me a glimpse of sobriety. And the only thing I can get was 1 minute. So the attorney for the kids was appointed, and she said to me, if you're powerless over alcohol and your life's unmanageable, try Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'd really never really heard that name before. And this is where God was really working in my life, that I was actually looked it up in the Yellow Pages. I don't think there was no Google or anything like that at that time. I had to pick up the Yellow Pages, and I called Alcoholics Anonymous, and they said, meet me at this meeting tonight. The guy that was there said it's going to be at a meeting that next night. And again, God working in my life moved me into that meeting. And, you know, that was December 17th, 2000. I haven't had a drink since. I've been an active member of the home groups have changed, but I've always been an active member of my home groups. I've always had a commitment to where I go. And I continue to show up when asked. You know, Larry came to a meeting and shared, and then he nabbed me to come in here and share for 10 minutes. And my life's incredible. It's not perfect. I mess stuff up, but that's part of, going through and making things right as I continue on this path. Thanks for letting me share. Thanks, Bob.